Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents...
I would like to speak to America's men for 1 minute.
That slacker barista.
I start getting full of emotion.
Now we're going to build this new bridge here.
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No, I can't.
Betches Up Podcast.
Like, how are people surviving?
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Caitlin Bird.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. It took only a few hours last night for networks to determine that Senator Raphael Warnock has won a full term as a U.S. Senator from Georgia. And as we reiterate often on this podcast, we couldn't fully celebrate the last time that Raphael Warnock won his Senate race. In fact, it wasn't even above the fold the next day on the New York Times because of the whole attempted coup thing. So this is really a happy day.
Yeah, I forgot until you posted on the SUPS IG.
I never forgot.
That last time he won was January 7th or whatever.
Hilarious.
It was literally like a handful of hours between like, yay, we've got a Senate majority. Oh my God.
Oh no.
That is awful. They're just going to assault Congress. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. We went from like, oh, yay, we have a majority to like, oh, my God, is there going to be a Senate?
Oh, my God. I know. As I was like looking for that old New York Times cover, I was just sort of thinking, like, where did those reporters even start? Where do you even start? Like, who should we use as a source today? Which congressperson should we talk to? I just was like going back and reading like the first article and we just didn't even know. We didn't even know. It's like there were reports of defecation in the speaker's office.
I'm trying to even think what I said in the newsletter. We should look back and find that the January 7th newsletter. Because I'm probably like, well,
do that and we must post it.
Like, crazy what
crazy news did we put in there?
I know, right? Because we put other stories in it. That was when we still had a markets section.
Oh my God. The markets were good.
I remember we were a few, like, we were recording, like,
yeah, me and Caitlin were
an hour before the actual coup happened. We were like, well, hopefully everything works out. And then, like, literally, like, a few minutes after we finished stopping, we were like, there's an actual, well, it's like we said, until the end of democracy.
Oh, shit.
That same day, I tweeted out, like, I really thought I'd have more time before.
Yeah. I didn't realize we were right up on that deadline.
Yeah. Sammy and I had done a live saying, it's all going to be fine on the 6th. Don't worry. It's going to be some, they might try some shit. Cause, you know, we knew that they were going to object, right? And we're like, and that's going to be intense. Oh, man. But this is definitely a very different day of victory for Raphael Warnock. Good for him. He also doesn't have to share the glory with John Ossoff this time. Mm-hmm. In their second time at the polls, in just a single month, Georgia voters rejected a domestic abuser, abortion, hypocrite with dissociative identity disorder. I don't mean to sound ableist with that, but like he just doesn't clear. He literally said he was not medicated for it.
Yeah, he did say openly, I have dissociative identity disorder and I'm not doing anything about it. Which I think is the crucial.
That's the crucial. That's the challenge. That part's the tough part. But yeah, not a good dude, not a dude that Georgians wanted to represent them, which they said, you know, I guess fairly resoundingly in a second time. It's looking like Warnock might have won by an even greater margin than the 37,000 vote edge he pulled off in November, which, as Elise noted, and I always have to remind myself, is like in any other state, or not any other, but most other states would have ended it, would have nailed it. But thank God Georgians know we have to do this again. And even last night, you know, Walker admitted himself the numbers weren't adding up there, probably the smartest thing he's ever said. And so here we are with a Democratic majority with one added. You know, we've been talking a little bit about why 51 seats are better than 50. And I think we would all agree that the judicial portion, the judicial nominees of it all, is definitely the most important. But is there anything else that's like really huge? I mean, what's the biggest difference this could make aside from judicial appointments, given that Republicans won the House?
Subpoenas.
Oh,
air horn noises.
Got you.
That one area of our government plus the executive branch is going to be functional in any way, I think is helpful.
Huge.
That it's not just a complete block on literally anything being able to occur. And also, you know what? Their House majority is slim. We've got a shot at the House again in another 2 years. The fact that we did not also lose the Senate, we actually expanded in the Senate. We could expand more. Like, this puts us in a good position for what's going to be actually a presidential year election. God help
us all.
I'm
so looking forward to this. I really want the filibuster gone. And I've put it out there, but I feel like I need to reiterate. Italy has an open ambassadorship with no candidate right now. Joe Biden could offer it to our version of fascist girl boss.
I knew this is where you were going.
And she could drink so much wine.
To Italy.
I know. Okay? It is her color palette.
It's all paid
Caitlin,
for.
Caitlin, this is maniacal.
Done.
This is evil genius
and
shit.
And then if you do this on January 9th at like 4 p.m., Katie Hobbs has been sworn in as governor of Arizona. Guess who gets to make that appointment?
How long have you been thinking? When did you come up with this theory?
I came up with it like a few weeks ago.
Obsessed. I love this. You're right. This is the energy, because that is like what that is. Would a Republican even hesitate? No. They would wait and they would wait and then appoint.
I'm just
a
laughing
pro
thinking
filibuster
about
reform.
Kyrsten Sinema running around Italy looking like Portia in White Lotus. Just like the color palette is out of control.
That's so good.
She does dress precisely like Portia.
Portia's a little younger, a little more youthful.
Gallego takes over that seat. He's got 2 years, because in 2 years, both Manchin and Sinema are up for re-election. Yeah. So this is actually a really important time in the Senate for the Senate majority to have that extra vote. Because now, if let's say my plan works and you can knock Sinema out and you can replace her with somebody who's open to getting rid of the filibuster, you don't need Joe Manchin to change or abolish the filibuster. Now there's no filibuster and there's no reason for anyone to get upset about it because there's a GOP House. But that actually puts more pressure on the GOP to pass bills, because now they will get through the Senate. And that kind of pressure allows Democrats to take some advantages and push for some additions to bills and put pressure on McCarthy to get bills out of that House and to put pressure on GOP senators to actually up or down vote on these terrible things that whatever crazy shit Kevin McCarthy's creating. It's a great way to run in 2024 if, you know, that's the kind of thing you want.
Right. I mean, you don't really have to take responsibility for nothing happening, but you can point to all of the hustling that you did on your end. And also, I mean, things are obviously so polarized now, but was there a world like 15 years ago or pre-Obama when there was a real potential for big bipartisan legislation, like with a breakdown like this, with a margin that small? Or have we just been so far from that? Like, there's nothing really.
2002, it happened. It was one of the few historical elections that lines up with what happened recently, which is like one of the least successful midterms for the opposition, for obvious reasons, because 9/11 happened and everyone was kind of wrapped up in this idea that maybe we should come together and work in harmony. So they weren't like, punish the president. Mm-hmm. And that meant that we had a whole bunch of, frankly, quite shitty legislation that passed through.
True.
On big bipartisan margins. But I prefer this version, okay?
version that's not 9/11.
Yeah, just the second biggest terrorist attack on our country.
Yeah, I love the bipartisanship that comes from like genuine like shared ideals, and not that we're all really, really scared.
Yeah, that we just lost thousands of our countrymen
and we've
women.
All been completely freaked out.
Oh, and it still continues to traumatize us. I was going to ask final thoughts on election 2022, but here we are. We probably have about maybe 3 months until everybody is talking about 2024. I can't remember if we were recording when Elise and I were chatting about how it's really sounding like, you know, Biden's like, I'm going to take Christmas to think about things, and then I'm going to decide whether I'm going to run again. But I guess I'm at this point having a hard time seeing how he doesn't run again. I mean,
it seems like he is running again. So, you know,
he hasn't been doing a bad job.
I feel like I don't want to shit on him or whatever. If he's going to run again and he's a Democratic candidate, I'm obviously going to vote for him. I just think he did celebrate his 80th birthday. That's a lot.
Right. And 2024 is still 2 years away. So that will
be. So
82.
I just 82. Feel like when you're pushing 90, there's a conversation we had there. But okay, he's running. I'm voting.
I really like the idea of him saying that actually he's not going to run again and give, first of all, 2 years to everybody to like line themselves up. And the next thing to do is go balls to the wall. Like, you have nothing left to worry about. This is the rest of your legacy. You got divided government, so you're no longer on the hook for anything that goes wrong. And if you get rid of the filibuster, again, that pathway to you gets so much cleaner for Democrats. And the amount of pressure you can put on these Republicans to put up or shut up is so high. I'm really looking forward to him using the bully pulpit. Just let it go, Joe.
Yeah, I was even seeing this morning that like the talk about South Carolina potentially going first in the primaries, then people immediately were like, okay, well then Warnock would be a great candidate. Just imagine like winning, finally finishing a huge work project and then people being like, okay, next we're going to have you
do the biggest work project.
The biggest work project ever.
Yeah, I just feel like with how successful Democrats were in these midterms, it goes to show that like people are responding to Democratic candidates. So I don't think that we need to live in this world of like Joe Biden is the only man who can beat Donald Trump. Again, I'm never going to count Donald Trump out. I did that once and it was very painful. So
it was very painful for you. But yeah.
It was very painful.
It was a personal mistake.
I count that a major L in my life. So yes. I'm not going to do that again. But I do think he's in a weaker position than he's ever been. Like, we don't even know if he will be the candidate. I don't know that Ron DeSantis is this superstar that we're getting. Like, everyone's enamored with him right now. But I don't know. If you've actually heard him talk, he's very whiny and annoying. I think that he could grade on things change a lot when you're actually the candidate and the national spotlight is on you that big. And people with way less or way more charisma than Ron DeSantis have been felled by the national spotlight. I don't know. I do personally feel like I'd like to see a different candidate. But if Joe Biden runs, he's the candidate.
I'm sure this is the first of at least 800 conversations we will have about 2024 presidential race, which could potentially be impacted by the Supreme Court case we will discuss next. So we have another Supreme Court case to discuss today. Today, the court is set to hear arguments in a case from North Carolina where Republican efforts to draw congressional districts heavily in their favor were blocked by a state Supreme Court that had a Democratic majority. That court said that the proposed map violated the state constitution. So the state Supreme Court specifically struck the map down as an illegal partisan gerrymander, and they replaced it with a temporary court-drawn map that was more favorable to Democrats. But there is this idea that state courts can't play any role at all in rules and regulations around elections. And I guess that is the independent state legislature theory. Caitlin, what is the independent state legislature theory?
I know some crackpot shit that Republicans came up with. I gotta tell you, like, this is just like the most batshit thing I've ever heard. Basically, if you were all regular citizens, right? So basically, what they're saying is your state legislature, which I don't know if any of you actually know who your state reps are, but that the chances that you do,
too scared,
very low, very low. Off the top of your head, can you name them? I don't think I have to stop and think about mine, and I just moved. You basically, they're saying that those state reps have unlimited control over elections, that they make decisions and they get to set up the time, the place, the lines, everything, and that no other branch of government, no other faction of government, not citizens themselves, can stop those state reps from doing whatever the fuck they want. This is a form of, I mean, like, there's no power in the entire United States government that has no controls on it.
Right. I'm sitting here being like, I distinctly remember in the eighth grade learning about checks and balances and how our genius founders, who are amazing, put him in the Constitution, use their big, beautiful brains to put it in the Constitution because they're geniuses and have never been wrong.
Never,
that's
ever,
what I learned
ever.
In school in Virginia.
Originalism only.
And that they put them there because exactly that would be bad.
There does seem to be quite a lot of conflicting theories and interests here. One of them that stands out to me is just the fact that the Supreme Court has decided that they are going to decide that courts have no role here. Like Brett Kavanaugh has written before about why he thinks that federal courts can stop state courts from doing this, but state courts have no role. It's only okay when we do it. So the U.S. Constitution, what they say they're trying to honor here is the fact that the U.S. Constitution has a provision giving state legislatures the power to make the rules about the quote times, places, and manner of congressional elections. The North Carolina Republican leaders here say that carefully drawn lines place the regulation of federal elections in the hands of state legislatures, Congress, and like Caitlin said, nobody else, not a single other person. So they are saying that the North Carolina Supreme Court had no right to block their maps. But by this logic, literally no one else can ever participate in the regulation of elections. There are only nationwide, there are 650 state laws delegating authority to make election policies to state and local officials. Just every touch point that you So many of the touch points that you have with how you vote is because of some like random, you know, state law making that happen at your polling place. Nor could another thing that could not have happened was that Georgia state courts would not have been able to open up early voting. So it was basically voting groups that said, we need a longer voting period, even though state law prohibits it in this window. And the court said, sure, that's fine. And if this sounds crazy, it's because it is. There are high profile Republicans who say that North Carolina Republicans are in the wrong here. You can also imagine a scenario where this would benefit Democrats, but also kind of like for an equally disturbing reason. I mean, it would have a specific example, which I guess we would have been fine with, is that the state court is the one that struck down New York's map, right? And New York could have just been like, no, only we have the right to draw this. Mm-hmm. You can't give us a map. But if the court interprets this as broadly as people want them to and says that state legislators have full and complete authority into how elected leaders are chosen, some wonder how far they will take this. Some wonder if that will stop them, how that will stop them from deciding that an election, what's an election mean to us? Okay, it just means that we choose the president and member of Congress. People say that it could potentially open that door. As egregious as all of this sounds, some justices have previous writings that suggest they'd be open to this very strict interpretation of the elections clause, which would just throw electoral systems into complete chaos. It's just hard to square any of this with. It's interesting because whenever you're like, this isn't democracy, you always get a reply guy that's like, we're a republic. It's like, okay, I don't think this is what they wanted.
No, yeah, that's not. You can tell, like, what they had in mind. They're pretty clear about it. Did they always execute? No. But you can tell that what our founding fathers had in mind was not this. So.
I don't even know what to say, frankly, because this is just, like, first of all, the 15th Amendment says explicitly that Congress has the right to prevent discrimination in voting, racial discrimination mm-hmm. in voting. And then you have the 17th Amendment, which takes away power from state legislatures to voters to make decisions about Senate. So you literally have parts of the Constitution that have been updated to actively undermine this exact psycho theory. And then, of course, you have the fact that before this theory was even implemented, nobody was using it. Mm-hmm. So like, where, okay.
Yeah, I just, the Supreme Court is so, like, it's so hard to think about because it's really, like, just these nine personalities. A good number of them are psychotic people. They're up there for
Sad
life.
But true.
We can't really do anything about them. Their views are outrageously unaligned with what the American people believe, to the point where I think it's a major contributing factor to the election results that we just saw because people mm-hmm. were so outraged by what had happened. So that's my only wonder is like, will the fact that we just saw these electoral repercussions for Republicans that many people have tied to the Dobbs decision temper them in any way? Because they are Republican operatives and they have been acting as such? Or are they like, let's trash the place on the way out, get as many crazy conservative rulings in as possible while we can, do everything that we can while we can. Right. Because Joe Biden is not someone who's going to move to remove people from the court or expand the court. He has seemed pretty clear about having no interest in doing that, even though it could and should be done. So, yeah, I'm just – it's hard to read them. Like, are they going to go full hog and just be like, okay, we're ruling against the gay couple for the wedding website thing that's happening. We're going to rule in favor of this. We're going to do this, 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 and this, and just, yeah, like burn the place down on the way out.
I mean, that's like the one yesterday is a good one to bring up too, because they both seem so bizarre to have taken on. So the fact that they even agreed that these were good questions to pose is quite disturbing. I think this could be potentially similar if people view it in the same way that they did the Dobbs one, in the sense of like taking away. Like, it just seems – I just think voters are going to see that this is pretty transparent, that these state legislators are like, no, we're smarter than you. It's actually our right to choose. Right. It doesn't really matter what votes you send to us. And people were pretty outraged about that even in 2020. And obviously, there's a base of crazies who are dangerous who will side with the legislatures, but it's pretty transparent what they're trying to do.
Yes, and election denialism also was a big loser in this election. Yeah. Most of the election denier candidates, especially the ones in really important races, all lost. It was a losing issue across the board. So, I mean,
why would
sucks.
You want to take this away from, like, why would you want to put this in your own hands so exclusively if not so that you can choose the winner? Like, it just
exactly.
seems very obvious.
I mean, that's what people can see what's happening.
One of the biggest things that happened, too, was that in this midterm, Democrats made huge strides in state houses. And two of the biggest shifts that happened were Michigan, where both houses flipped, despite gerrymandering, and Pennsylvania, where one of the houses flipped. You are talking about possibly handing Democrats the opportunity to do whatever they want in those two massive swing states, so that way they can lock down and possibly make it impossible for Republicans to win those electoral votes.
Yeah.
So there's a double-edged sword here to some degree that they weren't thinking about, because they were expecting a red wave that would allow them to just own everything. And now they've got this Damocles sword, or, you know, like hanging over everyone's head being like, yeah, no, it's definitely going to work out. It's like, you guys are possibly taking the election away from yourselves.
I know.
Where we lock down the upper Midwest and you never have a chance to win Michigan or Minnesota's or, you know, Pennsylvania's votes, electoral votes ever again.
But they've gerrymandered their own map so much that, like, it's something like 35 state legislators are controlled by Republicans right now. And if you look at certain states, I think it's maybe Wisconsin, like, the percentages of, like, Democrats will win 70% of votes but only make up 30% of the state legislators. It's like, it's just so, it's so icky what they're doing. And the fact that they say it's all in the name of the Constitution, like Elise said, like this document that was supposed to give us all a voice is, like, obviously not all of us, but some,
But I think that that's one of the major, as Elise pointed out, like, Dobbs fed this idea, this pro-democracy backlash in voters, where we all sat down and we were like, wait, whoa, that's not how that works. And people didn't realize it until it was gone. But I think that Sam Alito has been very clearly telegraphing that he doesn't give a fuck about what anyone else thinks.
No, he certainly doesn't.
He's very clearly in charge of that court. John Roberts he's just over in the corner crying, just like rocking back and forth, like, I thought it was going to be okay. Like, why don't you guys slow down? Meanwhile, Sam Alito's like, this is my moment.
I've been
waiting. Yeah. So he's like up here doing everything crazy, just being straight out there. I mean, he made a joke about black children in KKK robes. Yes.
Joke.
Joke. And he said, like, it to Ketanji Brown Jackson, too.
He kept
it was like
it up.
In he response. Kept he really thought it was a zinger, too. He was like,
people laughed because, like, what's the alternative? Not saying anything? I mean, because he's basically one of the supreme powers of judicial interpretation in this country. I'd also like to point out, he's a Bush appointee. when people are like, oh, Trump, the problem with the Republican Party clearly goes further back.
Yeah.
Sam Alito is representative of this entire Republican mindset. So, like, we're going to need to do a lot of work on this court. Mm-hmm. But I think they're definitely in burn it down mode. And I think it's going to come back and haunt Republicans. And I think that if I were a Republican legislator right now, I'd be telling them, don't do this, because we don't need the kind of smoke from voters who are going to be paying attention to, like, wait, you said what? Mm-hmm. And if you give us a chance, we will take it back from you, our power.
Alito's attitude is so smug and smarmy and shitty. Like, the way that he, every interview he does, he's like, well, sorry. So I just don't have a lot of, like, faith that he...
How does he not have shame that he just, lost the Senate for Republicans?
I'm sure he has some mental gymnastics him and Clarence are engaged in together to be like...
Well, he said, in his opinion, women can vote, and they did. And I guess we're going to keep... thing about this that's so crazy to me is that, unfortunately, North Carolina's Supreme Court flipped back to Republicans this cycle. And I think they already are planning to do another round of redistricting next year. And they're going to get away with whatever map they want. So much like yesterday, it's another, like, this is not necessary for you. I mean, but obviously it's not because North Carolina Republicans want this for themselves or because Lori Smith wants them for herself. It's part of, like, a larger group that's just trying to fuck all of our shit up. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think what I would be so opposed to that I would preemptively ask the Supreme Court to take away the rights of millions of people so that I could have what I wanted. Sometimes I think I should inhabit that energy more. Maybe I would just accomplish more in life.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, like you said, like, the plan is to open a door to change the results of elections as they see fit. As whoever is in charge sees fit, really. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to open the door on changing election results, because we had a candidate in the most recent election who was trying every single door and luckily found them locked to him. Mm-hmm. And some people are very determined to make sure that next time he finds an unlocked door.
What's interesting is that one of the Republican, like, leaders that's speaking out the most about this, I believe, is the same guy that basically was brought on to advise Mike Pence about if he could stop the electoral count. It was basically like, nah, bro, you can't do it. Mm-hmm. And that guy's also like, yeah, no, we can't do this. So I guess listen to that Republican, please. Anyway, that is our show. Until the end of democracy. I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Caitlin Bird.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye. The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Rebecca Sousmacat. Social media by Amanda Duberman and Bridget Swartz. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails at suppod@betches.com. Betches.